who called you is holy, you shall also be holy in all your conduct, because it is written, be holy, for I am holy. And Pete is actually quoting it from Leviticus 11. So let's turn to that. Leviticus chapter 11, verse 44 and 45 says, for I am the Lord your God. You shall therefore consecrate yourself, and you shall be holy, for I am holy. Neither shall you defile yourselves with any creeping thing that creeps on the earth, for I am the Lord who brings you up to the land of out of the land of Egypt to be your God. You shall therefore be holy, for I am holy. This morning, we're going to the point Romans 4, in the outline 4. Be holy in all your conduct. This is a command of God. Yesterday, we were reading in Peter. And yesterday, it was about our cooperation. God needs your cooperation. For the being born again, God also needs your decision. But that's sufficient. You decide, yes, I want to have the Lord Jesus as my Savior. So you also contribute in the way that you receive. You receive that the Lord, the salvation of the Lord. So you don't do anything, actually, only you receive and confirm. But then the second step we saw yesterday, the salvation of the soul, is a long time frame, and you have to cooperate. You need the cooperation for the salvation of the soul. And we read here that we should be holy in all our conduct. And why does he say this? Because he says, because it is written. It is written, as we read in Leviticus. And this is even in many more places in the Bible, he says, you shall be holy. Why? Because God says, I am holy. May the Lord open our eyes to show us we have a holy God. And maybe the most important attribute of our God is He is holy. And because He's holy and made us to His people, we're not separated, you know. God is there and we are here. No, He wants to bring us together, and that's why to bring it together, He says, because I am holy, you shall be the same. That's why our cooperation is there, to get holy, to get this holiness. And if we cooperate together with what the Lord has for us, we put our focus on the grace and we walk the way He prepared for us, we will get holy. Because holiness is His nature. He is holy. We maybe think holy is to act like this or be like that. You do this and you don't do that, then you're holy. Even among Christians, there's a lot of concepts of long lists what is holy. But actually, holiness, the first step is not how you work or do things. It is your being. God's being is holy. What does that mean? Let's read about the Lord Jesus in Hebrews 7:26. I'm going to read to you. Our Lord Jesus is here described as the high priest. The Lord is our high priest, for such a high priest was fitting for us. It was exactly what we needed, says the German translation. And what does it say? Who is holy? This is the first thing. God himself in the Old Testament says, I am holy. In the New Testament, we see Lord Jesus, and it says, who is holy? And the Spirit, what does he have for a name? It's the Holy Spirit. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit is a one unit, and they're holy. How much more do you and I have to be holy? If the triune God we have is through and through holy, says that is exactly what we needed, what was fitting for us. He's holy because we have to be like him. Undefiled. Free from evil. Holiness also says separated from the evil. He was separated from all the evil. Separated from sin. It's wonderful. In German it says separated from the evil. That is not a concept. We have a concept that are not allowed to do certain things, but no, it's a making us free from the evil, separating us inwardly. Isn't that good? Who from you does not want to be separated, be free from all evil? Is there anybody here who says, well, I would like to keep the evil? I hope not. What is the way, God's way to make us free? It is really the holiness. That is the way. God does not say, hey, you should be holy and now find your way to do it. No. No, he gives us a way. He gives us his Son, who is already holy. His Son is free from all evil, free from sin. And this Son lives in you. Are you aware? The one who's free from sin and evil lives in you. So should it be that hard to be free? Because you already know Christ lives in you. He's not out of you. He's living in you, giving you a wonderful way. Peter doesn't show us only it's an order of God for you, especially for you wanting to be a priest. He gave you his Son and the Holy Spirit who lives in you since you have been born again. Brothers and sisters, this name, Holy Spirit, shows us that the Spirit has such a function. If you think of the Spirit that lives in you, do you have this vision? He's holy from day all the way to night, from the morning to the evening. He wants to work on you, wants to make you alike, put you in the image of the Lord. And this is wonderful. given you life, but what kind of life? It's a holy life. How often do you come to the Lord and tell Him, Lord, sanctify me, make me holy? How often do you have this awareness? The Spirit in you really wants to change you to be holy. It's good to tell the Lord, Lord, if your Holy Spirit that is free from all sin and evil lives in me, also do this in me. Take away the evil. In my soul, all these thoughts, all these things, I want them to be purged out. And the salvation of soul, you cannot separate from holiness because this is the goal. Where does it lead to? The salvation of your soul leads to holiness. Holy Spirit is there in your inner part. So the problem is not there anymore. The problem is your soul that is so unholy still. We want to do our own things. We don't know what the Lord wants. Our emotions are also soulish. Our will. We need really transformation. Undefiled. It says the high priest is undefiled, separated from sinners. The Lord was on one hand separated from sinners, showing us this holiness. It doesn't mean you cancel everything and you go away. The Lord was separated from sin, but He had a lot of time with the sinners, right? If you hear separated from sinners, you say, okay, I don't go into work, I stay in the home office and don't meet anybody anymore. I want to be separated. This is the concept, you know, we have these concepts. Why are there monasteries and monks that separate themselves from this world? But the Lord Jesus didn't do that. You can go away on a mountain in a monastery, go away from all the world, but in your heart, the world is still there. In you, there's still sin. It is really a matter about your interior. What is in you, in your heart? 1 Peter says, sanctify Christ in your heart. Holiness starts inward, in your heart. Of course, there's also good separation outwardly for some things. It makes sense. But outwardly, it will not help. You know, in the history, God took Israel out from Egypt, and it was important to take them out, separate them, and put them in the desert. But what was the problem? Their heart. Outwardly, their body was not anymore in this Egypt. But inwardly, in their heart, they even wanted to go back there. That is the issue. We have to learn inwardly to holy, to sanctify this. So why could the Lord take so much time with sinners and not be defiled? Because inwardly He was pure. He had nothing to do with sin. He wanted to save sinners, but He has a heart for them that they may be free from the evil. I want to really learn this, to go like this to my work, to be fully separated from sinners, but be so close to them that they can see Christ, that I can speak Christ to my colleagues, and He can gain them. Separated from sinners. Ask the Lord, Lord, how much am I separated? in my heart. Up here in the mountain, we are separated. We are on the mountain. There's a, on the around the camp, there's a fence, and nobody's on this property, only us. We can be here, but your heart can be thinking the whole day on the, your work, on nice things you want to do. When I came here, I realized I have to sanctify my heart. In the beginning of the conference and every morning new, I have to tell the Lord, I want to be holy, work on my heart. I want to cooperate. The Lord will not do this for you. It's not you drive up here, you go through the gate, and then you're automatically holy. That would be nice, right? We could just stay here. But it doesn't work like this. We have to cooperate. You have to make a decision. I want to sanctify you, Lord Jesus, in my heart. What does it mean? It means you open your heart. You have to create space, room for the Lord. I have to really say and speak and do it. Say, Lord, take this room. Open my heart. Throw out things that are not good. Not even only bad things. Even good things that are legitimate is good, but it's too much. I need space for Christ in my heart. So if we're here on the conference and only 20% of my heart is for Christ and His Word, and the other 80% are full of this and that because I didn't take care and put it aside, then ask yourself, how effective will the word be in your heart? It doesn't move a lot of things because the Lord wants your whole heart. Therefore, it's good to say this morning again, Lord, I want to sanctify you in my heart. I give you my heart. Take the space in my heart, Lord. As it is written in Proverbs, the Spirit of the Lord shines into the, our heart in all chambers. You know, if the light comes into your chamber, the Lord can shine His light into your heart, and He can do it if you ask Him. But then you are the one who have to tidy up room by room in your heart. If the Lord has given you light, then you have to make the decision, Lord, I'm going to change this or I'm going to take this out. If I realize this matter distracts me from the Word and the Lord, I have to have a decision. Separated from sinners and has become higher than the heavens. This walk will have an effect on our walking. That's why Peter says our being must be holy. But it's our being, but also in your conduct. Be holy in your whole conduct. So it's both. If you're inwardly holy, you walk holy. If you're inwardly holy, you cannot walk, do everything as the people around you in the world do. You act like them, you speak like them. This cannot be possible. Therefore, it has to have an effect on your walk, in your whole conduct. It's good to tell the Lord, Lord, my walking, my conduct, change it. I want to read 2 Corinthians 6:14. 2 Corinthians 6:14, do not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. Don't carry the same yoke. For what fellowship has righteousness with lawlessness? What communion has the light with darkness? And what accord has Christ with the demons, with Belial? Or what with the idols? Or what part has a believer with an unbeliever? If the Lord sanctifies your heart, you will have a different decision. If you're holy in your heart, you will not decide. For example, if you choose a partner, you will not decide like the world decides. You will not take a partnership with somebody who's unbeliever. Where does all the commandments in the Old Testament come? Because God wants to make his people holy. And we read the conference in Malachi. And in the end he says, you will see the difference at the end. The big difference between those who serve the Lord and those who do not serve the Lord. But even today, there must be a difference. Ask the Lord, Lord, will people see your holiness in my daily life? He continues, therefore come out from among them and be separated, says the Lord. Verse 17, 2 Corinthians. Do not touch what is unclean, and I will receive you. If you're born again and you're a priest on the way on the holiness, you can have close fellowship with the Lord. And it says we have to separate us from evil. As we hear it, the blood of the Lord Jesus, it doesn't work if you're loose and you ask for forgiveness and you just continue the same things again. If you live like that, God will not receive you. It doesn't mean you will lose your salvation, but you will not come to him, be close to him as you should have fellowship with him. You have to have a fear of the Lord to not touch the unclean things. And the Lord will always will put you before new decisions where you have to decide, do you want to have this matter or the Lord? Do you want to stay on the side of the Lord or not? In Ezekiel 44, if you read about the son of Zadok, they chose to serve the Lord, and the Lord says they should come near to me, and they should serve me, and it's a big honor for them. And why did they receive it? It's good to read actually the whole chapter to get the picture. God speaks also about the Levites, and they still remain. They took a wrong decision against the Lord, and now they are still able to serve, but not as the sons of Zadok. They get a special treatment. Ask the Lord, are you good to just do something for the Lord, or do you want to really come close to the Lord to serve him? To take a decision, Lord, I want to be close to you. Even if everybody else goes astray, I want to keep with you, Lord. If you read the son of Zadok, they had some things they had to do because they were holy. Lord says, not even like how they cut their hairs, not too short and not too long. It's one example, maybe sounds a little bit funny, but the holiness will have an effect even to this matter. Somebody who's really holy, you see outwardly. Of course, if I cut my hair the right way and clothe the right way, many believers take outward things that they look like they're holy, but this is not the way. But if you're inwardly holy, it will have an effect on your whole being and conduct, on his testimony. And Peter continues again and again. 8 times he says about holiness. It's about the salvation of the soul and being holy. That these 2 points really belong together. It speaks about the Holy Spirit. 2:5 speaks about the holy priesthood. Peter could have said a lot, but he just mentions, be a holy priesthood. As it is the first attribute of God, holy, and the Lord Jesus holy, and the Holy Spirit holy, so also we have to be a holy priesthood. Praise the Lord that a few years ago the Lord really opened us this way of the priesthood, that we have a way to go on. Chapter 2, verse 9, he continues, we are holy, royal, holy nation, a holy nation separated from the world, different than all the other people, special to them. We're building the heavenly Jerusalem. Chapter 3, verse 5 is a word for the sisters, but we brothers can learn from this as well. It starts actually in 3. Do not adorn merrily outward, arranging the hair, wearing gold, putting on fine apparel. Rather, let it be the hidden person of the heart with incorruptible beauty, very precious in the sight of God. For in this manner, in former times, the holy woman who trusted in God. See, Peter, even if he speaks among the sisters in the church, how does he call them? He calls them holy women. All sisters, I encourage you, if you think about you in the church, you should be holy woman. And this holy woman have a hidden person in the heart, incorruptible beauty. Holiness is such a beauty. You find this in Psalms, like very prominent. Psalm 110 says, your people will be in the day of your might full of holiness, in the beauty of holiness. In German it says they're really, yeah, they have put on this holiness. It's an adornment. It's a beauty. Pray to the Lord in beauty of holiness. Meaning, if we come together on the Lord's Day, we should be holy. We should be adorned in this holy garments. It's not a normal thing, but we should have this awareness, hey, I'm coming before the Lord and I want to come in the holiness, in the beauty of holiness. It's not a random, normal, common thing. And we should not be afraid to say, oh, I'm not holy, so I don't come or whatever. You should be encouraged to come and really bring the best to the Father. Very short and to the point. We still have to learn. Some saints bring long offerings, very long stories. But hey, it's good. Do not focus so much on what happened. What did number A say and number B, and how did number C react? This is not so important. But speak to the Lord about it and ask the Lord, Lord, what did you work on me? I don't want to entertain the saints. I want to bring something to you, the Holy Father. What do you enjoy? Therefore, praise the Lord. There's so many psalms, like Psalm 69, holiness be your beauty. There's so many verses. Let us really take this word that we want to cooperate. The holiness doesn't come by itself. Second Corinthians says that we should complete the holiness. We should complete it. We should bring it to end. Or run after holiness. Hebrews says run, pursue holiness. Meaning it's not that easy. It is a fight. But be encouraged to run for this. And one last verse, let's read this together. 1 Thessalonians 5, chapter 5, verse 23. Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely, and may your whole spirit, soul and body be preserved blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. He who calls you is faithful, who will also do it. Amen. Lord, sanctify us through and through.